Recording, okay. What I mostly want to do today is practice for a little bit, as we have been doing in our sessions, and the same thing in a way, you know, just set up the practice by relating it to the things that Rinpoche talks about in this section, in this reading. And then next week, we will go on to exercise two, and work with that. So, as you know, Rinpoche, in this exercise, asks us to look at the quality of awareness. And I have kind of a working model in my mind. I'm not sure it's exactly what is presented in the book, but it's how I've come to think about it, and so I want to share it, and in part I already have in previous weeks. The content of our experiences is where we ordinarily focus. You know, we usually try to figure out what's going on, and you could argue that that's, you know, that's what human beings and other beings that are in the world and are constantly encountering things and trying to figure out how to deal with them, that's really what we have to do. We have to take into account what's going on around us and be able to respond to it. So we have to be able to recognize it and identify it and have the appropriate response. Okay, so that's what we usually do. It's where we usually put our energy. And then there's a second level, and you might say there's two, but I'm going to say there's a second level. And that second level is not the immediate content of experience, or maybe I shouldn't say immediate. It's not the content in the sense that we would identify if we said, well, this is what's happening right now, you know. What it is more the background of experience. And there's a couple of different elements in that, and that's why I suggested perhaps it could be, you could think of it as two different things. But one Rinpoche mentioned specifically in the reading we had today, and that is the kind of underlying structures, and the one he points to is the structure that says, I'm the one who's having this experience. But that's maybe the most central one, but it's also shorthand for a lot of different things that are going on that we take for granted. You know, there's a philosopher, John Searle, who talks about something similar to this. It's not exactly the same thing, but he calls it the background. And I remember the example he gives. He says, when you walk into a restaurant and you say, I'd like a steak, you're making a lot of background assumptions. You and the waiter understand each other. He knows you want it cooked, you know, you don't want it rare. He knows you want a piece of meat rather than a wooden steak. He knows you want it served on a plate and so on. And that you are promising to pay for it. And, you know, many, many things are going on that don't need to be discussed. Well, that's one level. It's not the most interesting level, but it gives you a sense, I think, of the various things that are going on. But there's also this level when you're focused more, as we are, on experience, the level that Rinpoche points to, I'm the one who's having the experience. It belongs to me. And then there's also a level which Rinpoche doesn't mention, but I think is really important. And that is, he doesn't mention it here, he certainly mentions it other places. And that is the level of reactivity, you might say. We respond to what's going on, and that response is not, it's not as though first we have the experience and then we respond to it. The response is built into the experience. So, you know, liking or disliking is an obvious example. Judging in different ways, connecting, associating, you know, the kind of situating the immediate experience in a structure that makes sense out of everything. So I often talk about that as the sense-making part. It's the story part, but it's kind of the background of the story. So that's the second level. The third level is the one that Rinpoche is really proposing we focus on in this exercise, and that's the level of awareness, and in particular the quality of awareness. And I think this is so interesting because I don't know. I don't know anybody else who talks about this, but once you look at it, it really makes a lot of sense, I think, and it gives you a very interesting dimension to investigate in your experience. So it's not the background, and it's not only or simply the fact that we are aware. It's important, to be aware of our awareness, or to be knowing fully aware, but it's the fact that as the content of experience and the reactivity that we manifest toward experience, as that unfolds from moment to moment, there is an impact on the nature of the awareness that we have, So, as I've said before, it's pretty clear, I think, in the reading, but it's important to be sure that we're clear. To talk about the quality of awareness doesn't mean high, middle, low, high quality, low quality awareness, although that could be a part of it. It's that awareness comes in different flavors depending on what it is that we're aware of. And it may be that if we get more expert, more familiar with this quality of awareness, that some of those differences, are no longer so important. But or a better way to say that is we go to a level of awareness where it doesn't change so much from moment to moment. But the way to investigate that Rinpoche is suggesting here is that we are aware, we're sensitive to what's going on in each moment. And that's why I like to mention that second level, which is not something that Rinpoche is really emphasizing here, because if you look around the room, let's say, and you say, well, now I'm looking at the wall, and now I'm looking at a lamp, and now I'm looking at the window, and now I'm looking outside the window, that may not give you enough content to really be aware of how of the quality of the awareness shifting from moment to moment, because you could say, well, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at this. It's always the activity of looking at something, and it's always kind of the same. I think that's a little bit too simplistic, but you could say that. But if you're aware of this intermediate level, how do you react to each thing, even if you're just engaged in that process of looking around the room? How do you react to each different thing that you engage? What is its meaning for you? What is its significance? What is the quality of liking and disliking, or judging or evaluating? It's when you become sensitive to this kind of global presence that I think this exercise really begins to offer its riches. So there's a little clue to that, and I think it's helpful. It's just a single word at the second sentence, or the second line on page 248, which is still in the description of the exercise. I guess I have to go to the bottom of 247. Rinpoche says, and this is the third sentence, which I suggested we look at in the orientation. He says, a perception or thought goes forward, carrying awareness. Okay. Then a second perception or thought recollects and passes that awareness on. So it's that word recollect that I'm interested in right now, because I think it points in this direction. The word recollect can, of course, also mean, although we don't use it this way usually, but it can also mean recollect. And the difference, I looked it up in the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, and at one time that was a more common word, and that was the difference. It depended on how you pronounce the letter E. To recollect means to bring to mind, but to recollect, if you think about what that actually means, it means assembling all the pieces again, right? You recollect them. If you imagine that you have a jigsaw puzzle, let's say, and you've been working on it, and then somehow the table you've been working on tips over, and now the pieces are all on the ground, and you have to recollect them and start over. What Rinpoche is saying here is that the next moment recollects the awareness from the previous moment. And to me, that suggests this kind of global dimension of an experience. All the pieces have to fall into place or fit into place. You need to keep things. You need to sustain what's going on. And that's what I'm pointing to or trying to point to with this word recollection. And that's, Rinpoche then asks at the end of that sentence, he goes on, he says, so what is the quality of this experience? And it's when you are aware of all the different things that are going on, that are being recollected and you could say I mean, the other word, we have several words for remembering something, which is interesting, we have the word remind, which is, that's pretty specific, I guess. Then we have the word remember, and remember is an awful lot like recollect, it's like getting all the members together. Recollect, the dictionary definition says that it's... when you remember something, it just kind of pops up. But when you recollect something or recollect something, you have to make an effort, to recollect it. That may be relevant here, I'm not sure. And then there's a related word, it's not quite the same as remembering, but it is kind of, it's the word recognize or recognize. And that's an interesting place to look. I don't know that we'll do it right now when we practice, but the relationship between bringing everything together, letting everything fall into place, recollecting it, and then recognizing it. And it seems as though, you could say, well, first you have to recognize what's going on piece by piece, and then you recollect all the pieces. Or you could say that first you recollect what's going on, you take everything that's been assembled in the previous moment, and you pass it on, you recollect it. And then because you've done that, you're able to recognize what's going on. That's an interesting question, at least it seems to me interesting to explore. How do those two things fit with each other? Now, of course, the main thing to notice is that, all of this happens very quickly and very silently, it happens beneath the surface of our experience. So in order to become aware of the quality of our experience, the quality of our awareness, there needs to be a greater sensitivity to that. And then the one other thing I want to say before we do practice for a few minutes and then reflect on that is that that in itself is a kind of a transition to what Rinpoche is really looking at in this exercise, because what he says, and this is in the second paragraph on page 248, he says, as awareness becomes more refined, so that's what we're doing, we're tuning into the quality of awareness, we're getting a more refined appreciation for what's going on in awareness. He says, as awareness becomes more refined, a sense of inner knowledge enters into each experience. So the notion here is that within everything that's going on, and in particular, as we become aware of that within, you know, we come not only become aware of the within. The of always suggests a distance, you know. It's not becoming aware of it, but we become aware within the within of our experience. As that happens, then we tune in to this sense of inner knowledge. You know, as Rinpoche says, he says there's, you know, it's not a question of being here, it's not a question of mind conducting mind or awareness conducting awareness. It's got a kind of a purity to it. And to come back to our theme for this program, which is thinking, it's exactly not thinking about things or thinking of things. It's a knowing that doesn't depend on those structures. So, that's an orientation to the same practice that we've been doing for a couple of weeks now. I would like to have us do that practice for a few minutes now and then open it up for discussion in light of that. Would anybody like to say anything or ask anything before we do the practice? Okay, we're ready to go then. So, we'll do this for about 5 minutes and then open it up for discussion. I'll turn off the video. When you see my smiling face again, you'll know it's time. I'll say something too. Okay, let's come back together. Whatever that means in this internet world. So, I'm going to open the floor up for comments or questions. Maybe I'll start by saying something. And I'll give you just a little background. You know, I've been organizing. This is a busy time at Mongolian Centers. We have several different things going on. And last night we had a public talk, and there was a Dharma teacher from the Theravadan tradition. And he started off with a meditation practice. He said, before he gave his talk, he said, well, let's just everybody sit for 10 minutes. He didn't give any directions. And so I was essentially doing this practice during that time, and then reflecting on it again today when I did it today. And the thing about doing it last night was I was so much in the mode of running the operation that if the quality of awareness, and I'm going to put it in terms of high, middle, low, the quality of awareness was very low. It was a very, it's very, maybe a better way to say, is a very distinct, very narrow awareness. You know, is this going right? Is that going right? And I couldn't really get out of that little corner that I'd painted myself into. Let me turn from that to what Tsutaba is asking in the chat. She asks whether Rinpoche is pointing to experiencing the nature of mind, pointing out the nature of mind. Well, insofar as that's a technical term in the Buddhist tradition, I don't think it's so helpful to try to connect that out, or connect that up, rather. I do think, you know, Rinpoche is certainly, it's fair to say, he's pointing out the nature of awareness. Now, the word mind just adds another layer of complexity, perhaps. He's pointing it out in a very specific sense. Maybe pointing out isn't even the right term, because, you know, he's not saying, look here. You know, usually pointing out, it's you have an image of somebody pointing at something. He's more suggesting a way for us to be investigating ourselves, and it's very much, very strongly focused on this notion of inwardness, you know, within the experience. That's where the quality of awareness arises. Okay, anybody else? I know 5 minutes is never very long, but anybody else? Anybody want to report on something? You know, I'm sorry, someone's typing. If you go into a
Hi, this is.
Yeah. Is that Bruce?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. This is yes. This is Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I was typing a response since I'm usually very taciturn on these calls, but I speak up. And so the first thing I was thinking of is your exercise of cracking open thoughts.
Right.
I recall that from one of your essays, Cracking Open Thoughts.
Right.
And so I started feeling the metaphor of being at right angles to my thing. And somehow that switched into a metaphor of the distinction between the pattern of waves and wetness of waves. And somehow that allowed me to just sink into all the thinking that was happening and experience kind of the wetness of thinking no matter which way it was going, and feeling how the quality of maybe the wetness of the thinking changed, whether I was thinking about something in my body and health or something going on in the day. I'm speaking in this broken way because the echo is throwing me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. You should maybe turn off your speakers. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sorry. I think it was down, but maybe not down all the way.
Uh-huh.
But that's all.
Okay. Well, so when you say the wetness of thinking, if I understand you correctly, you're referring to the thinkingness of thinking. Is that like the wetness of water? Is that right?
Yes, I guess it was just kind of the qualitative feel of the thoughts rather than their content or their specific directedness or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very valid distinction. We've talked about it before. And you know, one way to think about that, I wish I had another word, is that the, you know, the word thought is also the past tense of the verb thinking, right? And a thought is something that's been completed and has been named, been identified, been recollected, if you want to put it that way. And that's why it's not very fruitful to go to the content of a thought. But the thinking of a thought is really something completely different. That has much more to do with the withinness of the thought. So I don't remember now, I think it was last week Rinpoche talked, you know, we talked about a passage where Rinpoche does talk about the inwardness. Well, he does talk about investigating inwardly here. I'm looking back at page 246 in the middle, pretty much. So thinking has to do with, and thinking as opposed to thought, if you make that distinction, has to do with this investigating inwardly. Okay, I think, as I said, I have to stop a little early today, so I'm going to stop right there. It's an important place to look, and of course it leads to the next exercise, which is called Time of Thinking, and asks us to rest in the activity of thinking. Since Bruce brought up something that I've written about, I guess, I don't remember exactly where or when, but this idea of cracking open a thought, let me mention something else that Rinpoche proposes as an exercise that you might like to try, in addition to what's actually presented in the text. He suggests that we try holding a thought. So when you become aware that you're thinking something, try holding on to that thought as long as you can and see what happens. So we'll just add that to the mix. Next week is our last session on this theme, and then we're going to go on to the theme of sensing. And I posted a revised list of readings last week, or Kyle, our webmaster, did. And you'll see that all the readings are taken from Knowledge of Time and Space. So that'll be interesting. That's a book that people tend to neglect, I think, partly because it's so big. And so some parts of it are very dense. But it'll be interesting to work with it. But that's in a few weeks. Next week, we have our last reading for this session. And I'll see you then. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.